We have a big holiday coming up this Thursday, National Craft Jerky Day. Yeah. While that sounds awesome, and it's real, this Thursday is Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite pictures of Christy and me. So this week is all about giving thanks. So let's begin today by giving thanks together. To do that, we're going to use Psalm 136. This is a song of God's awesome creation, of his victory, of his provision for us. And after every line is this phrase, this refrain: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. So what that means is somewhere right now, maybe in a hospital room, God is performing a miracle. But better than that is his faithful love that endures. Like today, maybe in this room, God will conquer the enemy that is addiction. But greater than that is his faithful love that endures forever. Somewhere today, God will restore hope where it was robbed. But even sweeter than that is his faithful love that endures forever. Right? His faithful love endures when we feel like we failed. It endures when our hearts are heavy and our awareness of him is light. His faithful love endures when we forget what God has done for us. So it's good to look back and remember. So I just want to invite you, we're going to use a few lines from Psalm 136, and think back on the past year. Like verse 4 says, give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles. Like, did you experience a miracle this year? Like maybe a healing that couldn't be explained? Or a relationship that was restored? Maybe a hopeless situation that clawed its way out of the darkness? Well, if so, give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Verse 6, give thanks to him who placed the earth among the waters. This summer, did you enjoy the earth among the waters? Did you see the ocean? Did you get to watch your little ones splash in the waves for the first time? You just enjoy time in God's creation? Well, if so, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his faithful love endures. Verse 25, he gives food to every living thing. Maybe you've had some good meals with people you love around the table. I'm thankful for meals I've had with some of you that we've talked about really hard stuff. That you've said, this is where I'm at and it's so hard. And I've been able to say, it is. And here's all the places that we can see God is in it, right? So if you've experienced that, give thanks. Yeah, he gets it. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Verse 13, give thanks to him who parts the Red Sea. Did God part something and make a way for you where there was no way? Provide for you financially, or give you the job, or maybe lift you out of the fog of depression? Well, if so, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And his faithful love endures forever. Or is your answer no? Like everything about my life right now stinks. No, I am currently in the grip of addiction or anxiety. No, I did not receive the healing. No, my home is quiet and empty. If so, verse 23, he remembered us in our weakness. And his faithful love endures. So in our struggle, God's faithful love endures. And so high above the victories and celebrations of the past year, his faithful love endures forever. So give thanks to the Lord. So something I'm very thankful for is you. I love this church. I love you. So to express my thanks, can I play a song for you? Would that be okay? You say that now. Well, I haven't played in a while, and it's going to show. Turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat turkey in a big brown shoot. I'm kidding, that's not the song. It's a great song. No, I wrote a song with no words. It's just instrumental. Goes a little something like this here. I said I hadn't played in a while. Let me try. Can I try that again? Well, that's embarrassing. I thought that would have gone better, but no. That doesn't deserve. That's embarrassing. Man, I hope you don't remember that. Like, I hope next Thanksgiving you're not like, remember that guy who made those bad jokes and then tried to play that song that was really bad? I hope you don't remember that. Don't we do that? Don't we remember people's mistakes? Don't we dig up our own regret? Thankfully, God does not do that. Hebrews 8, we're in a study on the book of Hebrews. Today we're in chapter 8. I'm so thankful we landed here on Thanksgiving week, because I'm going to show you something we can be very thankful for this week and forever. That God says this about his people. God says, I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sins. He will never remember your sins. So that regret that just slides uninvited into your memory, God forgave it and does not remember it. That shame that might hang over you like a cloud, God forgave it and doesn't remember it. The sin that so easily trips us up right now, God forgives it and he doesn't remember. Now the word sin, it might carry some baggage for some of us, so let's try to unpack some of that baggage. You may have been told you're a sinner without being offered a solution, because that's helpful, right, when people do that? You may have been told, man, your sin, I don't know. I don't know if that can be forgiven. If that's you, I am so sorry that happened, but I just want you to hear what God says. He will forgive your sin, and he will not remember it. Let's define some of this. Sin is anything that makes you further from God. That's pretty simple, right? Also very hard. Anything you think about or do that makes us further from God for you, that's sin. So that means sin is an action, but sin is also a condition. Here's how this works. The first man and woman who were born, they chose their desires over God. So they left God to chase their desires, which made them separated from God. We're their ancestors. We're cut from that same cloth. So at birth, we are inherited the sinful condition that separates us from God. Psalm 51:5, I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. So sin is an action, but it's also a condition that we inherit. Right? Many of us have inherited conditions from good old mom and dad, right? Some of them are hard, like addictive personalities or physical struggles. Some of them just make life more interesting, like the gene that makes cilantro taste like soap. Or the inherited ability to roll your tongue. Anybody? Some of us got that, yeah. So we inherit these things. So sin, it's the things we do now that leads us away from God, but it's also the condition we inherit at birth. So when God says, I'll forgive sin and I won't remember it, how is that possible? How does that work? We're going to look at three ways today. First, God forgives sin and doesn't remember it through his mercy. Through his mercy, God forgives sin and doesn't remember it. Mercy is not receiving a punishment that we do deserve. So in his mercy, the sin that we choose or that we inherit, in God's mercy, he withholds it and does not put it on us, because Jesus has already received it. He's already received the punishment that's meant for us. If you've been playing along at home or here in the study of Hebrews 8, it tells us that Jesus is the better, fill in the blank. He is the better high priest, is one of them. In chapter 8, verse 3 says, since every high priest is required to offer gifts and sacrifices, Jesus, our high priest, must make an offering too. And the sacrifice that Jesus offered is himself. Isaiah 53, Jesus was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. We've all left God's path to follow our own, Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. So through his mercy, God forgives our sin and doesn't remember it. God also does this by his grace. Through his mercy and by his grace, God forgives sin and doesn't remember it. Now, grace is receiving a good gift we don't deserve. Mercy, not receiving punishment we do deserve. Grace, receiving a good gift we don't deserve. This gets kind of complicated, but Hebrews 8 helps explain God's grace by comparing the old and the new covenants. So if we go back to the beginning of the Bible, God created people. They wanted to be with him, wanted to be close to him. But pretty soon after that, they wanted their desires more than they wanted God. So they left God to chase down these desires, causing them to be separated from God. So God created a covenant. A covenant is a partnership where God makes a promise, and then he asks his partner to also keep some promises. God is faithful. He upholds his end. What do you think people did? Not so great. They're a lot like we were today, so they had great intentions for a little while, and then they saw something shiny and bright and went after that, did not keep their end of it. So this brings us to the new covenant. Hebrews 8:6, Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. So this new covenant is not based on us keeping our promises to God. It's based on Jesus having already fulfilled the new covenant. He's already done it. In his grace, God gave us what we did not deserve, and through Jesus, he fulfilled the new covenant. At the end of Jesus' final meal with his disciples, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." So Jesus poured his blood out to fulfill the new covenant. It's already done. You guys tracking with this? I can see some of you want a little more scholarly explanation. We can do that. Any fans of the Peanuts Thanksgiving movie? It kind of lives in the shadow of the Christmas movie, but it holds up. So for the annual Thanksgiving Day football game, Lucy makes a covenant with Charlie Brown. She says, "I'll hold the ball, and you kick it." And here's how this plays out.
"That football cleared to the moon."
Ah!
"Isn't it peculiar, Charlie Brown, how some traditions just slowly fade away?"
Isn't it peculiar how some things just fade away? Right? We want a relationship with God. We want to be close to him. But in time, we want what we desire more. But in his faithfulness and in his grace, God has already fulfilled the new covenant, saving us, forgiving our sins, and never again remembering them. So God does this through his mercy, by his grace, and finally, with our confession. Right? Hebrews 8 says, "I'll forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins." It sounds a lot like 1 John that says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Right? So we're forgiven, and our sin is removed and never remembered when we get real with God. Right, when we come to him and confess, when we say, "God, I've got nothing. I've tried everything in my own power, and I keep going in circles and ending up in this same place. I'm hurting myself or hurting people I love. I can't do this anymore." Or maybe like your life has been smooth, it's been good, but you come to a point that you go, "Is this it?" You come to him and say, "God, I believe there's got to be more." When we come to God and say, "Here's who I really am. Here's what I've really done," God meets you right there with his love. He embraces you in that. And then he sets you free. So if you have been living in chains, today is the day God offers to break them. If you feel like life is just hopeless, this morning he calls out to you with hope and a future and says, trust what I've already done. Jesus has already confirmed and sealed the new covenant. It is done. He says, trust what I've already done for you. It is already done. It is yours to accept. And I know some of us in this room have accepted that. We've trusted Jesus as our Savior. But that excitement, is maybe it's kind of grown stale, right? Once, what once was fresh has become familiar. And what used to be this beautiful mystery has just kind of become mundane. Well, if you think back under the Old Covenant, the people in the Old Testament, I think they experienced God. Right, they were in his midst. They saw him in a cloud by day, in a fire by night. There was excitement, but eventually those feelings wore off. And they said, you know what? I'd really prefer this golden cow that I could touch. I'd prefer that over God. Or, you know, just give us a king. I want a king that I can speak to instead of a creator. Or, you know, just could you just put me back in slavery in Egypt? Because I'm familiar with that, instead of going to new places with God. Right? That is not so different from us. Everyone in this room is drawn to a desire, or lots of them, that take us away from God. But thankfully, God is faithful. He has already kept his and our end of the deal. He has already confirmed the new covenant. And he's not like Lucy. He's not going to pull that offer back, right? He's not going to say, you did what? Oh, this doesn't cover that. We can come to him with our deepest shame, our deepest regret, and he meets us there with his love. And he can give us a heart of flesh for a heart that's turned to stone. He can restore the joy of our salvation that has worn away. He will meet you right there. And through his mercy and by his grace and with his confession, he offers to forgive our sin and never remember it. So why did I come down here? Huh. Anybody ever do that? You ever walk into a room and forget why you went in there? That's called the doorway effect. I tried to hold that just long enough to make you uncomfortable, but that's... So what happens, your brain categorizes things in different layers and levels and plans and strategies. So your plan to go find the lost car keys, that got lost in the strategy of going into the bedroom. And that got absorbed in the overall scheme of leaving the house. You meant to go to work, but somehow now you're just eating a sandwich. Right? Because we're humans. We forget. God is God. He cannot forget. So when God promises to never again remember our sins, what do we make of that? If he can't forget, what does it mean that he doesn't remember? It means he will not hold it against us. The work of Jesus is final and complete. There is no reason for God to bring up our sin. When I started college 24 years ago, I was given a number. Or that young man was given a number. It defined me for 4 years. And I can't forget it. I know that number. I cannot forget it. But here's the thing. My name is written on a diploma. It's complete. It's final. So I never need to bring that number back to mind, right? Jesus told his followers, rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. So if you are a follower of Jesus, your name is written in the book of life. So there is no reason for God to remember your sin. It's final. It is complete. He does not need to bring it to mind. In his gospel, John the Baptist said, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God does not need to remember your sin because Jesus has taken it away. He took it away, and Hebrews 8 makes it very clear. It says, here's the main point. Now, this is kind of high-level stuff, but let me break it down. When the Bible says, here's the main point, it means, here's the main point. We have a high priest who sat down. He sat down. We have a high priest who sat down in the place of honor beside the throne of the majestic God in heaven. Jesus sat down because his work is complete. It is finished and it is final. He took your sin. It is forgiven. Your relationship with God is restored. It's complete. His work is final. You have a choice to make if you accept his finished work, if you accept his forgiveness and his salvation. You have another choice. If you're going to live in that freedom and that forgiveness, or if you're going to keep digging up your past shame, if you're going to keep getting those old chains and wrapping them around yourself. Because here's the main point. The Savior's work is complete, but you have to decide if he's your Savior. You have the choice whether or not he's able to take your sin, and if you're able to give it to him. Because the work is complete. It's our choice if we live in it. Can I take another stab at that song? Would that be okay? I hear some no's, but I'm going to go for it. This time I'm going to leave any bad notes in there and just fight through it, okay? Sometimes I realize musical illustrations, they only serve me, so let me explain that. This sounds bad, right? That's a G demolished, is what that's called. It's bad, right? A lot of tension. But then it became part of something good, didn't it? Right? What really seemed bad and hopeless became part of something good. That's what God does. Through his mercy and by his grace, he takes what feels or looks or sounds really bad, and God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So the thing that you may be stuck in, the behavior or the season or the situation, that thing, when you trust it to God, that thing becomes part of all things that God works together for good. Right? That thing that has caused pain, that feels hopeless, that has caused confusion, that has maybe caused the loss of years of your life, that thing that robs your joy and steals your peace and takes your excitement, that thing, because of what Jesus has done, becomes part of all things that God works together for good. So this week, as we give thanks, remember what God has done for you. Remember his mercy and his grace. Remember the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Remember that your name is written in the book of life. Remember that death has no sting and death has no victory. Remember that God has taken your sin and will not remember it. Remember that God loves you, and that faithful love endures forever. God, we are so, so grateful for your love that you have used through your son Jesus to seal the new covenant, to make us your sons and daughters, to give us a hope and a future, and to work all things together for our good. And may that be for your glory, and may we not just agree and nod our head at these truths, but let them impact who we are and how we live. And I assume there's some places in all of us that have grown hard and are dark, and pray that those truths would settle down into those places and bring light into them. And pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.